with Dr. Peru McCarr, and we are in New Orleans, guys. New Orleans, yep. At the SmileCon. It's the American Dental Association's big annual conference. And man, oh man, are we not having a good time?
We're having a great time. Just got in, and I can't wait to try some of that food.
That food is so amazing.
Yes.
I got to tell you, I worked out a whole week knowing that I was coming here so that I could afford to eat some of the gumbo and the oysters
and the seafood.
Oh, the bread pudding and all the stuff, all the things.
I hear you.
So Dr. Perul is an authority on oral cancer. I want to learn a little bit more about you. How did you take interest in oral cancer? And let me hear a little bit about your background.
Sure. I mean, we all learned about oral cancer in school, right?
Yeah.
In some form. But I don't know how much we're putting emphasis on it when we're doing patient care. And I actually lost my brother, who was a dentist, at the age of 34 to oral cancer. And he was 34. And you know how we associate usually oral cancer, and traditionally that's what
it's... smoking.
Correct.
Was smoking. He a
smoker?
No, not a smoker. He was not a smoker.
Not a smoker. And there are more and more cases. It's right now, oral cancer is the sixth most common.
Most prevalent form cancer of cancer.
In the world. And we, as dental professionals, are at the forefront of this.
Yeah.
So we need to have that knowledge and education and advocacy, not only to other healthcare professionals, dentists, doctors, but also to our patients.
A lot of people don't realize that when you come to us for a checkup, your routine checkups and cleanings every 6 months, we're not just checking for plaque and tartar and
That's
cavities.
Right.
We're checking for a checklist of things that could be in your mouth. When we're doing checkups, Doc, what are some of the signs that they may, what are some of the suspicious things that we would see in the mouth that make us want to think that they may have oral cancer?
So anything red or white, lesion that's not healed for over a period of 2 weeks.
Okay.
And usually, you know, when you look inside, you ask your patients questions, you know, look around. Is there a broken filling? Is there, you know, braces that's rubbing against?
Like, do you have this red or white lesion?
And, you know, even with aligners, you could have irritation sometimes. I have this kid who the aligner was brushing up against the bottom of his, you know, every time he lifted his tongue out, it would brush, and he got this white leukoplakia there.
Okay.
We adjusted it, and it was fine.
And it was fine.
So pay attention to what's going on in your patient's mouth, like you do for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Ask questions. But anything that's not healed within a 2 week period without a known factor, whether it's painful or not, you know, there is a misdiagnosis that cancer has to be painful.
Okay.
No, it could be non-painful lesion, but get it checked out. And that's when you do a biopsy.
Okay. Now this biopsy, our listeners and viewers out there, that sounds a little scary, Doc. Does it hurt?
Yes, a little bit.
Oh, she's so honest. Walk us through the biopsy process.
So biopsy, like anything else, you want to take a tissue sample from the infected site, and you get, you know, the tissue that's abnormal as well as the normal tissue. So you have something to compare it with.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the problem is that there is no test to detect oral cancer right now. Like you can get a pap smear, you can get a colonoscopy, right? You can't do anything there is salivary tests, but nothing that's FDA approved.
Okay.
So only a biopsy will truly determine
There's
what you
not
have.
Like a brush, like you can swab
you can do
the
it.
Lesion without cutting.
You can do it, but it'll tell you, okay, it's abnormal, but to then truly classify it, you need to do a biopsy.
Okay, just like with breasts.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like they will see on a mammogram that there's something that looks odd.
Okay.
And they do a biopsy, and the biopsy could be like something. Biopsy, I know it sounds like a scary word, but it's to clear you. And you tell your patient, I'm concerned about you. You know, and this goes into patient care, like we are here for you. And you tell them that it doesn't have to be something scary. We just want to know what it is so you can treat it appropriately.
Okay.
You know? So in my brother's case, for example, Manu was given prednisone, thinking it was a lichen planus because he never had the biopsy.
Okay.
And by the time he had the biopsy, it was so late that it was spread into his lymph. Into the lymph nodes, into the neck. And so he was prescribed something without knowing what it is.
Okay.
So we want that biopsy to, you know, get you the proper care.
No self, you know, people at home, they see stuff and they go to the Google and they're WebMD, yes. They try to figure it out on their own. So the point is, for everybody that's watching, if you see something, say something.
Say something. It doesn't have to be painful. It could be something your patient, like, they could have symptoms like trouble swallowing, pain in a ear, or trouble moving their tongue, trouble eating. So they may notice some changes in their own body. So pay attention to those. And otherwise, when you're in the exam and you're like, hey, I see something, are you aware of it? It may or may not be.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like, okay, let's see anything else that's going on. Did you change medications? Are you drinking enough water?
Yeah.
All of that. And then you bring it in for the biopsy.
If can they go to their general physician? I mean, is the dentist the best?
The dentist or the oral surgeon.
Oral surgeon. So
pathologist.
Okay. So there are specialists in dentistry. You may want to call your yes. general dentist first. And they may refer you. Are you doing biopsies?
I learned to do my own biopsies.
Okay, but
if you're doing surgeries, if you're doing, you know, implant placement, surgical extractions, that's easy.
You could do a biopsy.
But be mindful where you're doing it. Don't do it in the soft palate. You can do the hard palate.
Okay.
You know?
The point is, you want to, if your general dentist isn't proficient at doing biopsies, by all means, they're going to refer you to an oral surgeon
or
a pathologist. Someone who has the training to do a biopsy properly.
Yeah.
But you can contact your dentist first.
Yes.
You may, what if they call it their medical doctor? Is that wrong? Could a medical doctor do it?
Maybe not a general physician. Mm-hmm. Maybe an ENT could do it.
Okay.
Because they're in that space. But yes, so certain specialties will do it. But they may even overlook it and not think anything. They're not programmed to think that this could be oral cancer.
Yeah. So a part of your mission is you want to kind of make a connection with the medical community,
absolutely.
The healthcare community, and start training them
exactly
on how to treat it,
how to know what it is, how to treat it, to maybe educate what HPV is, to get the vaccine for it, and talk to our pediatricians. So interestingly enough, besides the ENTs, mm-hmm. the other two medical specialty that work in tandem for oral cancer, would surprise you, are OBGYNs and your pediatricians.
And which?
Pediatricians.
I would never think that. You explain?
So the reason 70% of the cancer, the oral cancer, is the oropharyngeal cancer, the back of the mouth. And those cancers are caused by HPV.
Okay.
What else does HPV cause? It's a sexually transmitted virus.
Right.
And it causes a host of other, like cervical cancer. That's what you're going for your pap smears for. You're getting tested for HPV. It also causes anal cancers, penile cancers. So it causes a whole bunch of sexually transmitted cancers, including oral. So if a woman is tested positive during her pap smear, her partner is at a risk for oral cancer.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That is astonishing. My God.
And the other is the pediatricians, because the good thing about HPV is if you contract it, which 80% of Americans do, it clears your body in some form or the other. You know, over the years, it does clear. But for some reason, in some people, it stays, and we don't know why. But we can get protected by getting a vaccine.
Okay.
And that's given to the preteens before they become sexually active. So if you've contracted it, we don't know, because there's no test to do it. That's cleared by the FDA to give you a positive. So even if you have it, you can get a vaccine protected for your other.
That is good to know. And I know a lot of parents are they're hesitant about the vaccines, but
it's, you know what, it's, there's no booster. You do it once, you need 2 doses or 3 doses, depending on the time of the child, and that's it. You're done. You don't have to do anything else, and it protects you for your lifetime. It's called Gardasil 9. And it's just a way to protect you and your loved ones.
And we need that. Let's talk about risk factors, the habits, and I know you said your brother wasn't a smoker. Is there any things that you can think of that could have led to his oral cancer?
So his was at 3%. We don't know why. He lived in Calgary, Canada.
Okay.
And it's at a higher altitude. There's a lot of radon gas. I don't know if that was because there is an incidence of higher cancer rates out there. But I don't know why he had it. You know, we do have one of the risk factors is your family history.
Okay.
Just like any other disease.
Diabetes.
Exactly. Heart disease. So Manu, we have cancer history.
Okay.
Not oral, but different form of cancer. But that means your gene it has a likely to produce cancer-bearing cells. So that could have been a risk factor. Men are at a higher risk than women.
Oh,
so
okay.
His gender was a factor.
Okay.
Usually,
I did not know that.
Yeah. So usually adults who are over 60 and a smoker, that's the traditional. But the oropharyngeal could be anybody. And the other risk factors are poor immune systems. If you are poor immune, your body is not able to fight. You have poor nutrition. You have a poor diet. All those are risk factors along with smoking, vaping. That's a big one now.
Well,
right?
I was going to ask that because a lot of times people feel like vaping is safer. It's not consuming the...
Right. And it's more socially acceptable.
Yeah. So you say vaping is just
is
as
much,
big
as... It's worse because of the oils that are in the vapes.
Okay.
They tend to really, you know, you get a smoker's lung.
Okay.
And in fact, I believe in 2023, Australia banned any vape that has nicotine in it because of how carcinogenic it is.
Okay.
And
wow.
Yes, it's more socially acceptable. Our teens are doing it. You don't smell it. It looks cool. But it's got some hidden dangers. And but that's another huge risk factor for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is your message to anyone out there that is concerned that they are at risk for oral cancer or just want to make sure that they don't ever develop it?
Yeah. Well, you know, be mindful what your lifestyle habits are, right? If you are a smoker, there's so many ways to quit smoking and get the help that you need. Smoking along with alcohol use is a big limit.
Oh, we didn't talk about alcohol.
Alcohol is a contributing
it
factor.
It is a carcinogen.
With smoking. So if you're doing both,
Ooh,
at a higher date, you know, those nights out partying.
Okay, so are you trying to tell me that I can't drink, I can't smoke,
in moderation.
I can't vape, I can't do nothing.
You can party in New Orleans, that's what you can do.
We can party in New Orleans.
No, everything in moderation. You know, these are people we're talking about. We're not talking about having a drink on the weekend or... It's about binge drinking. It's about over alcohol consumption.
So
it's about
if I have
people
one
smoking
drink,
the over.
If I have one drink on the weekends,
yes,
I'm
you're
probably
fine.
Okay,
you're probably going to be okay. But these are people who are smoking, who are chain smokers, who are heavy and prolonged use too. Right, you're exposing your body. Chewless tobacco, that's really bad because you're sitting and it's sitting
on
your tissue.
I was going to ask about the chewless because people again think that that's not that's safer.
You are constantly putting a carcinogenic substance and you're changing the cell structure.
I've got a big question.
Oh, gosh. Yes, okay. Go for it.
What about marijuana? You know, it's getting legalized.
Yep. It's
natural. It's supposed
to
be.
And it's in a vape form, too.
But what if I just get the natural herbs and I smoke it? Isn't that healthier?
Well, not really.
Okay.
Again, it's overextended use, right? I mean, there's no study like you can do so much and not so much. It's you smoked it for a year or two and then you quit. You're going to be okay.
Okay.
But marijuana, actually, a lot of cancer patients use marijuana
for pain control. Yeah, yeah.
They have, my brother had it, but he didn't smoke it. They had it in a liquid.
Liquid, like a drop that goes underneath
your
tongue or something like that.
Yes, to help with, So, you know, it's what you're doing, how are you doing, and at what extent are you doing it.
Okay.
Better, you know, practicing good oral habits.
Yes.
Going to the dentist.
Every 6 months.
Yes.
Getting the x-rays. A lot of times, can you see cancer on x-rays, like oral cancer?
It won't show up on the x-rays.
Really?
You will see if it's spread. That's why you need a biopsy, and that's why you can't pull it. Certain cancers, again, you can pull it up on an x-ray, you may see some modality with radiolucent lesions, like an amyloblastoma. You will see that. You will see certain things. But you cannot diagnose off of the x-ray. You will see it on the x-ray, CBCT, you will see the lesion.
Okay.
Right? And the CBCT should be red. Like if you have a CBCT in your office, you should have an oral radio oncologist read it.
Okay.
Because you're liable for that.
Okay.
But so CBCT will pick it up, but a PAN or a PA will pull up a lesion.
The traditional x-rays that we take?
Right. But it will look something suspicious. Then the only way to diagnose
is the biopsy. Roads lead back to the biopsy.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, you just brought up a good point. Having the latest technology is very helpful in diagnosing some things that we may not have been able to catch in the past. So in dentistry, that's why we're here at the American Dental Association SmileCon.
Yeah.
We're learning all about the latest technology and the tests and the products that are here so that we could go back to our offices across the United States and across the world, and we can bring you the latest and greatest in dental care. And boy, you are on top of this because, and I hope that more people get to learn about oral cancer, and you are speaking here, right?
Yes,
you're
going to
be talking about
morning.
It. Yeah, I can't wait to hear that.
Thank you.
What you're doing is so important, and I look forward to seeing your journey as you get out into the world and just let more people know about it. If I am correct, April is oral cancer,
April is cancer
awareness
month.
But we want to, and this month is National Dental Hygiene
Month.
That's
right. So, and hygienists are crucial.
They are crucial
to our dental practice.
Yes.
We work hand in hand.
Yes.
And yeah.
So, they're just not the people that clean your teeth.
Exactly.
They are licensed professionals, and they too, while they're cleaning your teeth, they may be the ones that will detect something suspicious as
right.
well. Or call it to our attention.
Exactly. Call it to your attention. Like, hey, doc, I know something back there, you know, when you're going in for an exam.
Take a look at that. Okay. Yeah.
And you can even, I mean, there's some tools like lights that are out
there,
like Valscope.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Again. They're all screening tools, and we're always screening for cancer.
Yes.
But it will not reflect. So it's basically a fluorescent light that shines off, and it's clear, you know.
It kind of looks like the whitening light, right? That
blue,
that blue light.
Right. It's green, and then anything that's abnormal will not light up.
Okay.
And does that mean you have cancer? No. That means you have a lesion
and
that may not be visible to the naked eye.
And we need to investigate it.
And we need to?
Biopsy. We're gonna make biopsy cool.
That's biopsy.
Right. Well, tell the people, how can they find you?
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram at DUA. Good job.
Do a good job.
That's my website.
I love that.
I have a webinar on oral cancer, giving it a more three-dimensional approach, because we all know it's oral systemic links. There's emotional aspects.
Oh yes.
You get to hear from cancer survivors and educate not only dental professional, but also the medical professional. I have 20 speakers on there from a host of different specialties, including management of wound from a dermatologist.
Nice.
DUA, goodjob.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being my guest.
You
are so important to our industry.
Thank you so much.
I cannot wait to see all the great things that you have in store for the years to come.
Yay.
All right. I want to dance too. Oh, my God.